Only Trixie is at the gate when he pulls up. She is sitting on her haunches, staring at something across the road, her forelegs planted in front of her, solid as tree stumps.
Probably an iguana, Clyde thinks.
Or an agouti, judging by the look on her face. He glances in that direction as he yanks the handbrake up but can't see what she might be looking at. There is only bush over there on that side of the road, bush all the way down to the river, and then more bush until you get to the cocoa plantations. The leaves are shiny with the little rain that just fell, the asphalt road steaming. As he walks down to the gate, he pulls off his t-shirt, wipes the sweat from his face, the back of his neck. He had a little wash before he left work, but the smell of the industrial estate still clings to him. It is in his hair, his clothes, the creases of his joints.
Isle smell, people call it, or petrochemical smell, if they're better informed.
Today, Clyde knows, he smells of grease, ammonia, and rotten eggs, because he spent the afternoon going round the plant with the engineer, sealing off valves, hauling open chambers, collecting samples in little plastic bags, and then closing back the chambers and opening valves again. Usually, he would have been wearing a blue coverall instead of his own clothes, and he would have showered at the plant before he left. But since the break-in a few weeks ago, he switched to day work, just as a temporary measure so that he can be at home with Joy and the boys during the night. It doesn't pay as well as shifts, but Joy says she feels safer with him in the house. Brownie and Jab Jab come down to the gate, their noses dusty with the red-orange dirt from under the house.
"Hey, all you been sleeping?"
he asks. They stretch and sneeze their hellos, panting in wide, happy smiles.
"Lazy dogs,"
he tells them as he pats them through the bars. "Lazy." But they smile and wave their tails. They can tell he's not mad. Anyway, he thinks, what is the point of them being awake during the day? Better they sleep during the day so they could be awake at night. You can't expect animals to be awake 24 hours, even watchdogs.
"Get back! Get back!"
he calls as he lifts the top latch. The two pot hounds retreat to the scrubby grass at the side of the driveway, but Trixie gets to her feet and stands there squarely, a burly mass of Rottweiler muscle, frowning at the spot where the two halves of the gate join.
"What happened to you?" Clyde says to her. "You're not going out on the road, you know?"
He looks again over his shoulder, searching for what might be troubling her. The sun has gone down behind the trees, and the lane is shady and cool and still. The birds have already gone in. There's just that one keskadee left in the guava tree by the gate. The big talker who's always the last to go in.
"You're still here?" Clyde says. "Everyone else gone home."
The bird blinks, angles its striped head this way and that. Then, as if suddenly realizing what a fool it is, rushes off. Clyde opens the gate a tiny bit and grabs Trixie by the collar, trying to push her away.
"I have to bring the car in," he pleads.
She growls, just a low rumble from her throat, eyes fixed on the ground. If he gives her one more inch, he knows, she'll shoot out onto the road and they'll spend the rest of the evening trying to catch her and get her back into the yard. Clyde lets the latch fall and rattles the gate.
"Paul!" he calls. "Paul! Come and hold this dog for me."
There's a brief movement at the window, someone waving to say they're coming, and then Peter comes out to the patio. The boys are twins, but even from here, 20 or 30 feet away, Clyde can tell that it's Peter, not Paul. Paul tends to slink around, like he's plain invisible, Clyde always thinks. But Peter walks with a bold step, his head up, his arms held a little way from his sides, not with the elbows tucked in like he doesn't know what to do with them. Peter is only 13, but he's nearly as tall as Clyde already, and as hairy. He has changed out of his school uniform into short pants, the dents from his socks still marking his ankles.
"Eh," says Peter,
as he comes down the steps. He skips quickly over the hot concrete to the grass on the side, the brown dried-up grass of dry season.
"Where's Paul?"
"Gone out."
"Gone out? Gone out where?"
"I don't know. By the river, I think."
"Hold this dog for me while I bring the car in."
Peter holds Trixie while Clyde drives into the carport, a shelter at the side of the house built of tall poles and galvanized. When he lets her go, she steps away from him and shakes as if she'd just climbed out of a wet drain. Then she returns to her position in front of the gate, sitting on her haunches, staring at the bush across the road.